countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. I hope you had a great work week. It's almost over. Enjoy the weekend coming up. And, of course, we have health news that's going to empower you. Hopefully, you'll go out there and make some healthier choices and enjoy life, right? That's what it's about. We're going to be talking about the universal vaccine, the new one that's in the works, not really on the market, you know, for everybody to go get right now. But we want to give you a heads up on what's going on with that. Also, we are going to be talking about the liver tonight, and it's real important that we do that considering we're going to be talking about vaccines. And if we get time, we're going to talk about how we can kill more germs, and flu season right around the corner. So we're going to be talking about that, too. And we do have a quack report, but before we do that, big salute and Semper Fi to our military, always looking out for our men and women in uniform that are serving this country with a dedication, and everything is on the line for them. So we want to pray and lift them up in prayer. seek the Lord's face and mention his hand of protection be upon all of our military. And while you're hitting the knees, might as well just say, hey, my Holy Father, we need righteous men and women with standing, with godly standing to take positions of power in this country and bring it back as one nation under God, because without that kind of leadership, we are doomed. Doomed. So everybody's got to wake up. Mind the time, because it's growing short. America's got to repent. Without repentance, God's not going to hear. So we got to seek the Lord's face. We got to make some changes. We got to stop doing what we've been doing. And you know, it is time for change. But you know the kind we're talking about. And without further ado, let's do the quack report.
Make way for Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
That's right, Daffy. Hey, now is the time to take action. Guess what the FDA's done? They've extended the comment period for that dietary supplement takeover proposal. You know, the one we talked about, the NIA reports were, or the NDI reports were, they were going to make supplement manufacturers fill out these lengthy reports, wait, what, 70 days, 75 days until approval before they can actually resell products. Well, I guess there's been a bit of an outcry about that. U.S. Food and Drug Administration has that the proposal guidelines for new dietary ingredients called the NDI in supplements appears to be having some impact. So the agency recently announced a 60-day extension period where they will hear from the public to submit their comments on this issue. So this means now's the time, folks. Get a petition going. Everybody that you know and care about, even the ones you don't care about, you need to bombard this agency with a concerned opposition on this proposed takeover of your supplements. That's what it is. In case you missed it, the FDA, back in July, proposed some new notification guidelines for handling new dietary supplement ingredients and ingredient blends created. So they created this dietary supplement NDI report, but it's not what the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act intended. The proposals kind of contradict the legislation, which is a notification provision, by turning all this into a FDA approval process similar to what the drug companies have to go through for their products. So in essence, the FDA is basically proposed a plan to hijack your entire supplement industry and force it to comply with a non-existent approval process that was never really part of the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act of 1994 that Congress passed. Okay? So if the agency gets the proposal passed as it is now, many of your supplements that you like right now are used to getting at reasonable prices will be gone from the market, and many of the producers that make those products will be run out of business. Hope you know that. So it's time to spring into action, and I mean jump up out of that seat. The public now has until December 2nd to submit some comments pertaining to this proposal, and do your due diligence now, folks. And this is serious. Even other countries like Canada that don't have this going on for them right now have been contacting manufacturers, including apothecary herbs, and ordering like a month's supply or a year's supply of stuff because they're worried that they won't be able to get these products. All right, let's go to the CDC. It's now calling U.S. households, demanding child immunization records. Have you heard about that one? Oh, yeah, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control is now engaged in what is known as a household surveillance program. It involves calling U.S. households and intimidating parents to produce child immunization records. It's part of what it deems as the National Immunization Survey. And the CDC is sending letters to these U.S. households alerting them that they're going to be called by the University of Chicago. It's NORC, N-O-R-C, at the University of Chicago. And households should have their child immunization records handy so they can answer questions. So the NIS Vaccine Compliance Program is revealed in the letter, which is sent to the U.S. households, is by Edward Sondick, you know, director of the National Center for Health Statistics at the CDC. You may remember him. He was instrumental at pushing that false alarm for the swine flu pandemic. You know, that scare that we had a couple years ago encouraged governments to pour billions of dollars into the pharmaceutical companies to get vaccines that went, like, nowhere. Yeah, that guy. What else we got? Chuck Norris. Hey, Texas Ranger. Remember him? Martial artist, author, TV actor, former star of the TV series Walker, Texas Ranger. You know what? He's also well-versed in natural health issues. And he's come out and he's taken a stand against the genetically modified products, the Codex Alimentarius, and the government assault against your health freedoms. Way to go, Chuck. So Norris explains to a lot of people why we have to band together right now and fight as one to protect our health freedoms. He's so right. And near total dominance of the U.S. GMO staple crops, corn, soy, and canola, almost all GMO, and nearly three-quarters of all processed food that Americans consume contains a GMO product. Majority of the people are completely unaware of this because there's really no adequate GMO labeling laws. So we need to, you know, correct that problem. Then there's the issue with that Codex Alimentarius, you know, that World Food Harmonization Code that threatens to control what you eat and eliminate your freedom to purchase vitamins and supplements. You remember that? Well, through the Codex provisions, they have not been fully implemented in the United States or fully ironed out by the UN or WHO, but it's a coming if we don't do something. Our health freedoms are diminishing little by little every single day. They're whittling them down like the frog in the pot. I'm feeling the heat. I don't know about you. Next but not least in the Quack Report, here's a Wisconsin judge. He says, you know what? You can't have raw cow's milk. Not that I'd be drinking any, but, you know, after being petitioned for clarification about decisions in recent legal cases involving individuals' freedom to consume raw milk or even own shares in a dairy cow, Judge Patrick Fiedler, he declared that individuals, are you ready for this one? Quote, don't have a fundamental right to consume the foods of their choice. End of quote. Did you hear that? Not without government approval. Mm-mm. That's his stance. Basically, the Farm to Consumers Legal Defense Fund and several other farms filed a lawsuit against Wisconsin Department of Agriculture and the Trade and Consumer Protection back in February of 2010. They needed a clarification on the interpretation of the law regards to raw milk, and you know what? They got it by this judge. Because up until then, Wisconsin was among the most restrictive U.S. states as far as raw milk was concerned. Raw milk sales to consumers prohibited unless you owned a private cow or you owned shares or, you know, agreement shares in an individually owned purchased cow. They were exempted. I guess you could have raw milk then. But now the judge says even that's off the table. He believes that no individual has any fundamental right to consume any food without government permission, even though, of course, the Ninth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution establishes that the government has no business interfering. But, of course, Judge Fiedler apparently believes otherwise. Well, to summarize, Judge Fiedler's response, individuals have no fundamental right to own or use dairy cows, to consume the milk from their cows, to board their cows off of their own property even, or to even produce or consume the food that these choice cows have for any period of time. There you go. Let's see what else we got. Workers in plants where hexane is present can develop nervous system disorders as well as skin problems. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the OSHA, defines maximum permissible exposure levels to hexane as 500 parts per million for workers with an 8-hour exposure. Higher exposures cause respiratory tract irritations, nausea, vertigo, and headaches, and some studies have linked hexane to Parkinson's disease. Well, hexane is also highly flammable. It's caused some plant explosions across the U.S., Mexico, and even in South Africa. Well, why am I mentioning this? Well, hexane from soy, and they use it in processing plants, it poses an environmental danger. The EPA categorizes hexane as a dangerous air pollutant, and the agency uses the, this term, airborne compounds that cause or may cause cancer or other serious health effects, such as reproductive effects and birth defects, adverse environmental and ecological effects, end of quote. So hexane, pretty dangerous. Grain processors produce more than two-thirds of all the hexane emissions in the U.S. That's about 21 million pounds of this hazardous air pollutant. So soy protein ingredients, you want to check your food labels, because this is hexane, folks. Read your labels carefully to see if it has TVP. It's an ingredient as a substance that indicates that the soybeans were bathed in hexane. Oh, yeah. Also, check for the alternate names for soy protein isolates and textured soy protein, TSP, okay? Some manufacturers may try to mislead the consumers with their labels saying it's made with organic soy, but this may be organically grown soybeans that were treated with hexane later. So if you want to check whether your favorite brand of fake meat or nutritional snack bars pose a hexane risk, you can check it out. There's a compiled list on Cornucopia Institute. So it's the 3Ws.cornucopia.org. Check it out. What else we got? Sodium benzoate, that preservative you see in foods, they say promotes cancer and kills healthy cells. That's right. It deprives our cells of oxygen and breaks down the immune system and can give us cancer. So this killer, basically, is flying under the radar. Friendly tagline as a preservative on most of your food labels. This is a silent cell choker and has found it's found in thousands of products, foods that are labeled even as all natural. So while benzoic acid is found in naturally low levels in your fruits, sodium benzoate is really a synthesized ingredient made in a lab. So it's derived from a reaction of benzoic acid with sodium hydroxide, and sodium benzoate is actually a sodium salt of benzoic acid. So sodium benzoate is also a carcinogen additive, and when eaten or applied to skin, it gets transported to the liver where it's supposed to be filtered out and expelled in your urine. But guess what? The damage is already done, starving your cells of oxygen before that process is completed. So sodium benzoate chokes out your body's nutrients at the DNA cellular level, deprives the mitochondria cell of oxygen, and sometimes completely shuts them down. This is bad. The FDA says it's safe because of the amount used to preserve food, very low. But don't ever combine it with vitamin C or vitamin E, because this causes a benzene to be formed, and benzene is known as a carcinogen. Also, never mix your vitamin C with your pickles, your peppers, your salad dressings, your jams, your condiments, vinegar, fruit juices, salsa, dips, shredded cheese, ketchup, or your diet or regular sodas, because this will give you that dangerous carcinogen. And don't forget about the mouthwash and toothpaste and cough syrup, your creams, your lotions, and hundreds of cosmetic products, which also cause this effect. So why do they put it in food? Well, it's the cheapest mold inhibitor that's on the market. And acidic foods tend to grow bacteria and mold and yeast more easily than non-acidic foods. So sodium benzoate extends the shelf life while it shortens our life. So cancer is all about cumulative effect. So when the human body is exposed repeatedly to this carcinogen, it can rear its ugly head. And the body does not have enough essential nutrients to detoxify. This will cause your cellular level to break down and give cancer that foothold, Parkinson's, neurodegenerative diseases, premature aging, just to name a few, all because of this little preservative. Just a little will do you in each spoonful. Hey, folks, do your organ cleansing on a regular basis to help stave off that as much as possible. And last but not least in the Quack Report, hey, we're going to go to Istanbul. You'll like this one. Officials in the city, a rural city in eastern Turkey, I mean, they don't even have modern conveniences, I don't think they're responding to an ancient local fear of being buried alive. So they have equipped their local morgue, brand new morgue that's opening up, with the latest gadgetry in case any of the bodies stored there have been declared dead by mistake. So guess what? They put alarms and electronic motion detectors in the mortuary in this town called Malatya, And it's going to detect the slightest movement by a living person emerging from a coma or from a long period of unconsciousness. 36 refrigerators are going to be fitted with interior door handles to allow any occupants to climb out of their coffins and open the door. And that wraps the quack report.
That's strange. All of a sudden, I don't quite feel like myself.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, well, we're going to be talking about this new universal vaccine. I know you've heard about it. I've mentioned it a few times here on the show. I know Dr. Carley, who's our guest on the third Tuesday of the month, has also mentioned it. So we're going to be talking about that. And by the way, Dr. Carley will be back with us on the what's the date? The 18th. She's going to be with us on the 18th. And while I'm checking that calendar of events, don't forget, coming up on Thursday the 6th of October, we're going to be interviewing author and chemist Shane Ellison. He's the author of the book Over-the-Counter Natural Cures, and he'll be our guest on the 6th. If you go to the powerherbs.com website, on the homepage under What's New, you can click Shane's link and get a sample copy of one of his chapters from his book. Very cool. Also, on the 11th, we'll be talking with Dr. Malcolm Hill. He is the author of God's Healthcare Plan. So his book's just been released this month, so you can check that out in bookstores near you. Okay, well, let's jump on into this universal vaccine, because here comes the vaccine. Scientists at Oxford University are hot on the trail of this new generation of vaccines. I'm talking new generation. Viruses have long plagued mankind, as you know, and the scientific community up until now produced vaccines with three strains of viruses to stimulate immune resistance to a specific strain or of a virus. So each year, flu vaccines required expensive reformulation to include what medical science thought would be the most prevalent strains of viruses. So we have about 20 distinct influenza strains, and they can have subtypes, usually two major proteins on a virus surface. So depending on the strain, it can have a variety of subtypes, and some affect humans and some affect animals. For example, science has labeled the avian flu, strains that affects your birds, of course, as subtype A. And the category branches out into the subtypes which affect both birds and humans, such as the avian influenza AH5. When there is a influenza type B, it usually is reserved to infect only humans. Influenza B can unleash a higher mortality rate, but poses less of a risk at becoming an epidemic like the strain A, and usually does not reach a pandemic proportion. Influenza C is a milder form of influenza. It is not classified according to subtypes. So, therefore, you have numerous strains and subtypes of influenza viruses, which often mutate. And medical science, instead of trying to keep up with the different mutating strains, is attempting to attack and kill what they think is the universal protein within most, if not all, influenza viruses. And according to the CDC and the British government, and the universal vaccine will actually, they think, save governments billions. And billions on pandemic treatments. They think it will significantly reduce vaccine shortages. And, of course, the drug companies won't have to spend 4 months hatching a virus protein from eggs to make their seasonal flu vaccine. Now, a Consumer Reports survey, you know what? It showed 37% of Americans plan to get a flu shot this season. And 31% said, you know, I think I'll pass on that flu shot. So it's almost 50-50. Well, you know what? This universal flu vaccine is so interesting, the way they're thinking. It's really about the T cells. So one of the things that will be promoted about the universal vaccine is that it will heighten immunity, and scientific journals will promote this vaccine as a T-cell stimulator. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't nickname this vaccine the T-cell vaccine. Now, medical science is hoping that this vaccine will be safer for the very young and the elderly who do not do well with traditional flu shots. The scientific research on this vaccine is currently based on limited human trials of 22 volunteers over the age of 50. Now, I understand that science is optimistic. However, microbiologist Mark Fiedler said this, quote, "It appears to be a safe formulation. However, I think that a larger trial will be able to confirm findings to take this technology forward," end of quote. And the University of Texas Medical Branch, they conducted a similar study this summer with the serum on 60 volunteers to determine the dose. The study determined that more testing is needed to be done on even a larger test group, and results were published in the Journal of Vaccine. So, more testing. But I want to read you a quote here from Wallane James. It was in the publication Immunizations, the Reality Behind the Myth. It was published in 1988. Wallane says this, quote, "Originally, diseases which enter the body are filtered through an elaborate network of body defenses, but vaccines, because they are injected directly into the bloodstream, slip by those defenses. Disease is able to gain access to all the major tissue and organs and bypass the immune response that otherwise would have destroyed it," end of quote. So, Wallane has a point there. And I want to read you another quote. This was from Drs. Kello Rokinas and Detman, I hope I pronounced that right, Detman. It was quoted in The Dangers of Immunizations. It was a publication from 1979. They said this, quote, "When our T cells encounter the foreign agents from the vaccine, they assume the strange new viruses must be friendly, and they adjust for this factor and allow them to pass alive and to multiply." Well, that makes a whole lot of sense because, you know, by the time they're in the bloodstream, you know, pathogens would have gone through the liver and gone through all these blockades that your immune system has set up as a safety measure. Well, I want to talk about the protein that they're talking about, the theory behind this universal vaccine. Now, according to medical science, the human influenza strains contain two proteins within the viral pathogen, which are different than the exterior proteins. Now, remember, most traditional conventional flu shots will use exterior protein viral pathogen elements, and it'll stimulate our immune system to identify that to hopefully get over the flu. But as I'm going to bring out as we go through this, that theory is a wash. Okay, so most flu vaccines are designed to use the exterior proteins on the flu virus to stimulate human immunity to fight off the virus. The exterior proteins can mutate, making it nearly impossible to target seasonal flu strains. Scientist Sarah Gilbert at the Oxford University study, well, she decided to do the study and look at the proteins within the strains and reports that most have two similar proteins. One is called the nucleoprotein, and one is called the matrix protein 1. About 90% of the viral strains in the influenza A family have these proteins or something close to it. And according to Gilbert, if you wipe out the nucleoprotein, the virus becomes, quote, unstable. And, quote, it does not mutate, and the virus genome won't work, end of quote. When we come back, we're going to explore more of that. Don't go anywhere.
You pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com. Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Talk Live. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about that universal flu vaccine that's coming out in the near future. Right before the break, I was talking about what one of the scientists on, who was pretty much part of the mastermind behind this whole theory about this new universal vaccine. According to Sarah Gilbert, she said, if you wipe out the nucleoprotein of the virus, inside the virus, it becomes, what she said, unstable. And if it does mutate, she says the virus genome won't work, end of quote. Well, the other protein, the matrix protein 1, we're told is a structural protein, and it supports the virus shell. And what if the science is wrong? That's my question. Because viral proteins, you know, foreign mutated ones, can cause allergies and anaphylactic shock. And no one likes getting the flu. I understand that. And being sick for 2 to 7 days as the virus runs its course, well, that's no fun. But at least the virus is contained within a shell and is not scientifically considered, quote, unstable. And what if it is able to mutate, reinvent itself, you know? Because the way she said it was, if it does mutate. So they're not really 100% sure it won't. Oy. So this concerns me, especially since they are working off the assumption that the protein within influenza has not changed since 1918 when they fused the influenza protein to a bacterial protein commonly recognized by human immune systems. Did you know they did that? Yeah, smallpox. Now, I'm all for saving lives and preventing 200,000 Americans from getting the flu each year and avoiding 49,000 flu-related deaths. But you know what? The track record for vaccines gives me cause for concern. Now, this is the first vaccine trial that's being tested on humans rather than animal subjects. I don't know if that makes you feel better. Now, let's look at this because, you know, some people are jumping the gun and they're saying this universal flu vaccine will be the shot for life. Have you heard that yet? The vaccine technology is going to be pretty aggressive. And I think the marketing for it will be aggressive also. Currently, the future of universal vaccines is unknown. Answers to whether the vaccine will offer protection and what are the risks. Is it a preventative treatment? Will it stop infection? And will it provide, quote, lifelong protection? Or will you require booster shots? None of that's been answered. And I can tell you, if Dr. Carly were here right now, she would be laughing. It's not going to do none of that. Now, Dr. Chetal Patel, infectious disease specialist at Baylor College of Medicine, he thinks that the U.S. regulatory process will slow things down a little, and it may take 5 to 10 years before you have a universal vaccine that is available to everyone. Well, you know, I'm not convinced it will take that long, especially if this is a scientific breakthrough, because every drug company will be rushing to produce this panacea, hoping to cash in on the notoriety and the financial gain. Let me read you another quote. This is from Marion Thompson, publication Another View, The People's Doctor. She says this, quote, when immunity to disease is acquired naturally, the possibility of reinfection drops to 3.2%. Did you hear that? Natural immunity, kind you develop on your own without vaccines. If you're allowed to be exposed to the bacteria or the virus in your immune system, it processes it through the matrix of your very sophisticated immune system that God gave you. You can develop antibodies for it, and the body remembers it and stores that. So if you come in contact with that again, it just deploys the antibody, and you probably don't get sick. So your chances of being reinfected with that similar or same pathogen is low. Well, and then you got to look at the vaccine recipe, you know. It all sounds great. The white coats make it sound all nice and neat, you know, tied up in a nice little neat bow. We've got the answer. Let's look at the vaccine recipe for just a second. We cannot forget about the rest of what's in vaccines, because you've got to know that universal vaccines, they're not going to be chemical-free or bacteria-free, right? You got to know that. So how do you suppose this medical soup will kill the protein inside the virus and stay fresh on the shelf? Well, nearly all flu vaccines contain disinfectants and preservatives, one of which you probably have heard of, thimerosal, which is the mercury. Of course, the scientific medical community and the CDC state that there is a lack of evidence that when you inject someone with mercury preservatives directly into the bloodstream, that that's harmful. Yeah, there's a lack of evidence that that's harmful. However, if you break a mercury thermometer on the floor and mercury beads roll across the floor everywhere, people are extremely concerned about that. But injecting a little mercury in the blood, not so worried. Or how many of you out there are concerned about eating seafood because of the chance it contains what? Mercury. Well, I know we're told it's not the same type of mercury. Okay, so we'll take the thimerosal out of the vaccine then. And what will preserve the vaccine at that point? Well, they'll put in neutralizers and carrying agents such as formaldehyde or aluminum potassium phosphate, which is a mercury derivative, but you're not supposed to know that, or maybe some sodium phosphate. And some vaccines contain antibiotics. Did you know that? So when serum of this nature is injected into the bloodstream, it has to deal with the fast-flowing blood vessels. So when vaccines are injected, the viruses are quickly separated from the other poisons or chemicals in the serum. And in moments, both of them have flowed through your veins, your capillaries, your arteries, your heart, and all your tissue. And the body's immune system has to try to neutralize the chemical poisons first and hopefully deal with the virus and bacteria, which has already begun to multiply. But, of course, if your T cells think it's supposed to be there, ain't going to happen. Now, if antibiotics are within the vaccine, well, you can just forget about an immune system response because that suppresses all your T cells. I want to read you one other quote here. This is from Dr. William Hay. He did some testifying at the House of Representatives Congressional Record back in December 1937, and he says this, quote, "It is nonsense to think that you can inject pathogens directly into the blood and in any way improve health. There is no such thing as immunizations, but we sell it under the name immunizations. If there were a way to build up a natural resistance to disease through these artificial means, I would applaud it, but we can't. And the body has its own methods of defense, which depends on the vitality of the body, and you can't change the vitality of the body by introducing poisons of any kind into it." End of quote. Totally on point there. And what about the regulatory issues? Have you thought about that? Well, I wonder when the new vaccine hits the market, how will it affect those already vaccinated with other pathogens? You know, vaccines are considered drugs, and drugs create 100 chemical changes within the human body. Will the medical community add this vaccine to the list of required vaccines? And can the human immune system stand all this stimulation? I'm being nice by saying that. Okay, and last but not least, Dr. William Albrecht, he quote, his quote was in the Organic Consumer Report, December 1962 publication. He says this, quote, "Vaccines go directly into the blood and are not censored by the liver. Aside from the antibiotics and germ-deadening chemicals in them, vaccines are primarily composed of foreign proteins from animals. Normally, proteins, chemicals, and other substances which are eaten are processed by the liver to protect you. Vaccines bypass the body's chemical sensor, the liver, before going to the bloodstream to circulate throughout the body. Consequently, he says, vaccines are a terrific shock to the body." End of quote. And they are. That's why babies die from sudden death, from death syndrome. It's an anaphylactic shock. Well, you know what? I'm going to just say it. Just forget about the artificial infections, because vaccines are technically artificial infections. And you would not normally have deadly pathogens go directly into the bloodstream. That's not normal. This is not natural. And this violates God's creation. So medical science knows what supports the immune system. They do. They know. And here you're going to know, too. If you want to fight off disease and power up your immune system, you need to give it some natural vitamin C, natural zinc, and natural vitamin D. Now, if you want a free list of foods that are high in this nutrition, and you can include those in your diet, especially during this flu season, you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you that free list. You can email them off the website, thepowerherbs.com, or you can call their toll-free number, which I'll give you in just a sec. But, you know, there's also herbs that are high in this nutrition, like horseradish, rose hips, yellow dock, barley grass, onion, lobelia, spirulina, echinacea root, and astragalus root. Now, you're going to find these natural herbal immune system stimulants at Apothecary Herbs, and you can ask them about. They're all in one formula, the Echinacea Deluxe, the immune booster, that Body Foundation food mix, their pneumonia kit, and they even have a pandemic kit, which is great for flu, too. Now, for those who are concerned about having to get vaccinated for military, school, employment, or even custody reasons, you might want to look at that pandemic kit because it has a natural way to reverse and limit the damage from vaccines. So check that out, Cole Apothecary Herbs. You can order online, by phone, or just call for their free product catalog. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And for our international listeners, you can dial 803-746-0219, 803-746-0219, or just go to the powerherbs.com website, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. So you can check that out. And you have tools to protect you and those you care about. Power up that immune system. God didn't expect you to need a pharmaceutical company to stay healthy. No, he expected you to be smart and take care of yourself healthy, stay healthy. And we're going to help you with that information and give you the tools to do that. Also, we're going to be talking about the liver now. Real important. Got to keep that liver healthy to protect you from all these pathogens, of course. It is one of the largest organs in your body, and it has a lot of responsibility. Now, the liver has to change food into energy while it neutralizes the toxins, you know, waste products, alcohol, other poisons. And also, it assists your digestion. Without it, you're not going to digest, you're not going to have normal function there without a healthy liver because it produces the bile. Also, modern medicine needs a good liver. Modern medicine doesn't really have any good liver aids. Really, they don't have anything to offer. They don't. They just a transplant. But then you're on those immune suppressant drugs for the rest of your life. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's look and see if your liver's at risk, because there are many health risks that can affect the liver. Viruses like hepatitis, your drugs, alcohol, poisons, cancer. So the liver can be affected by many diseases, and it can scar the liver tissue, and that is what we call cirrhosis of the liver, and in which 80% of the cases are preventable. Now, a sure sign that the liver is sick, you may have some yellowing of the skin, known as jaundice. Nearly 10 out of 100,000 people die from chronic liver disease, and it really isn't necessary. More than 2 million Americans have alcohol-related liver disease, and that works out to about 30,000 deaths every year from that kind of disease. Now, there's 3.5 million that suffer from hepatitis C, causing about 12,000 deaths every year. Hepatitis B affects 46,000 and increases the risk of liver cancer by 100% and causes roughly 5,000 deaths a year. A very disturbing statistic is that liver transplants are on the rise for children. And if you contract hepatitis, your allopathic physician can only advise you to rest and refrain from anything that would further damage the liver, such as, you know, drinking alcohol or taking prescription medications. Now, if you have cirrhosis of the liver, the most your doctor can do is offer relief from complications. And if you eat something poisonous, like, you know, poisonous mushrooms, all your doctor can do is wait until the fatal consequences run their course. So modern medicine really doesn't have anything to protect the liver. Not a thing. Actually, what they do offer only hurts the liver. You know, prescription meds. Well, let's talk about some of the consequences. Is it a coincidence, would you say, that there are 500,000 gallbladders removed each year? Or is it because our sick livers are not able to detoxify our system because the liver disease mostly because of our poor lifestyle? Because your bladder and liver work together in tandem, and the liver dumps pollutants into the gallbladder. Well, what about liver herbs? Are there herbs out there to help you? Well, in the 17th century, British herbalist Nicholas Culpepper used milk thistle herb for jaundice and liver disease. And the first century Roman physician Pliny, he published some writings about how amazing milk thistle was as helping the body to carry off the bile, aids the liver and the gallbladder, in their specific functions. And homeopaths have also used milk thistle for liver disorders, even gallstones and varicose veins. So milk thistle's been used for thousands of years, and I testify to it because it works. It's still great herb. Nothing's going to change that. Let's look at some of the studies. German researchers were able to identify three liver protective compounds in the milk thistle herb in 1968. Although the compounds are known as silymarin, so how do the compounds that are found like this in milk thistle work? Well, they bind to the receptors on the liver cell membrane and block toxins from entering, so it protects the liver cells. You may recognize this function by the name antioxidant. And the silymarin goes the extra mile by helping the liver repair itself while stimulating your immune system. So what scientists are finding out is that milk thistle can be used for even the worst liver disease safely and effectively. The German E Commission evaluated herbs for liver function and approved a milk thistle extract for all liver conditions. Now, under the herbs for liver function and that are approved, milk thistle extract is on the list. And under a lot of the studies for hepatitis, even several European researchers have found that patients who were using the milk thistle recovered from the hepatitis fast. One Italian study of 20 hepatitis patients, some were given a milk thistle and some were given a placebo. They found that the patients that were actually taken the milk thistle with the silymarin in it regained normal liver function. And Europeans found that those who accidentally eat poisonous mushrooms, you know, it was fatal. They were going to croak. But if they were given milk thistle, there was a 95% survival rate. Wow. Talk about an antidote right there. Now, the silymarin in milk thistle is able to block the poison from entering the liver and killing the liver itself. And one Scandinavian study involved 97 alcoholics with liver damage, but not yet at the cirrhosis stage, so there wasn't scarring yet of the liver tissue. But half were given milk thistle to take for about 4 weeks. The other half were given a placebo. Those that were taking the milk thistle showed significant improvement in their liver enzymes, indicating the liver was healing. It was coming back. It was bouncing back. Awesome. Well, let's look at some drug-induced studies, because consuming alcohol isn't the only drug that can damage your liver. If you take large or long-term doses of over-the-counter, like acetaminophen products or prescribed medications, it can damage the liver. In an animal study, milk thistle was given to protect the livers of rats, and then they were given doses of acetaminophen. The milk thistle prevented liver damage. In the other study, milk thistle prevented liver damage from antibiotics, antidepressants, and antipsychotic drugs. But this isn't an excuse to keep pumping those things into your system. No, no, no. Other industrial chemicals were also in the works here. This is just awesome. Research that has documented that silymarin in the milk thistle minimizes the damage to the liver associated with long-term exposure to industrial chemicals. So workers who suffer liver damage working around chemical toluene, for instance, and xylene, they took 2 to 4 teaspoons of milk thistle extract 3 times a day for a month, and this produced substantial reductions in their elevated liver enzymes. Cool. Other research, milk thistle is still under the microscope in mainstream science. They're looking into how milk thistle lowers cholesterol and reduces the risk of diabetes. And for some, milk thistle in large doses can actually cause upset stomach. Pregnant or nursing mothers should not use milk thistle. Yeah, wean that baby first. Other facts, well, milk thistle is high in your chromium, healthy fat, iron, magnesium, manganese, phosphorus, selenium, and zinc. So studies have shown that people who suffer from liver disease and essentially those who are alcoholics are low in vitamin D. So you can get vitamin D by getting some healthy exposure to your sunlight. And vitamin D also helps your liver to properly convert and store various phosphorus compounds for proper liver function. This particular function helps the liver manage glucose. So when the liver has excessive glycogen and the lipid levels increase and clog the liver up, guess what? Your vitamin D is going to help be responsible for regulating the calcium and cellular integrity. And so get your foods that are high in vitamin D, your cod liver oil. You can use like a tablespoon a day. Eat some herring or mackerel fish or sardines, even tuna, with the essential fatty acids and that vitamin D. Even your eggs. And, of course, if you're using milk for your vitamin D, know that that's vitamin D3 that they get from pigs exposed to sunlight. They use the skin from the pigs to fortify the milk. Also, our organs are designed to regenerate, folks, and especially the liver. So when you remove organs like your gallbladder, it will put an extra burden on the other organs designed to filter toxins. So if you have your gallbladder removed, your liver is going to be under more stress. You're going to have to really take care of that. So I would do some periodic liver and gallbladder cleansing. Do that, you know, at least twice a year as a maintenance. Peripherally, if you have liver disease and gallbladder disease, you might have to do it more frequently. If you're not ill, you should do the flushes and at least twice annually. Use your milk thistle and your barberry bark and some organic olive oil. And if you're looking for information on how to do a liver gallbladder flush, organic flush, it is easy to do, and the folks at Apothecary Herbs will provide that information to you. And so what does that do? What does that liver or gallbladder flush do? Well, if you have gallstones, you have a lot to gain. If you got gallstones even the size of a garbanzo bean, you'll be able to expel them without discomfort. So the olive oil will help the stones slide out through the gallbladder sphincter valve and help the gallbladder cough up any debris and stones. So your sick gallbladder, you know, if it dumps stones and fat and cholesterol and yeast and mold and whatever else is stuck in there, I call it gallbladder sludge, you can use the barberry bark and the milk thistle to help those two organs, and you'll be amazed at how great you'll feel. So check it out. You have some organ cleansing products at Apothecary Herbs. They are the experts in immune boosting and organ cleansing, have been doing it for 11 years. You can call for a free product catalog. The toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the website, ThePowerHerbs.com. Check it out. If you want to learn more about herbs, download the Power Herbs book for just $14.99, 400-page book. The Herb Symptom Reference Guide, you'll be glad you did. Well, folks, I'm almost out of time, but don't forget, coming up on the 6th, I'm going to be talking with Shane Ellison. He is the author of Over-the-Counter Natural Cures. Do tune in for that. Go to the PowerHerbs.com website, and under What's New on the main page, you can click Shane's link to get a sample chapter of the book. Also, on the 11th, Dr. Malcolm Hill will be with us. He is the author of God's Healthcare Plan. His book's just been released. And then on the 18th, Dr. Rebecca Carley will be back here on Herb Talk Live on American Voice. So I hope you do come back and listen in and learn. And because, you know, we live in times where we can't afford to be sick. We just can't. So do come back and check that out. But you know what? You don't go anywhere, because you know what's coming up next is Messiah's Branch with Pastor Dan Cantlin, so you don't want to miss that. And I'll be back next time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.